Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Jen Kotler, and this is Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. I'm really excited about our show tonight because we have got some incredible guests who are going to be joining us. Reverend Brian McFarland, who's in Greensboro, North Carolina, is going to be joining us. Rebecca Stevens-White, who's in New York City, is going to be joining us. And we are going to spend the evening really focusing and reflecting on music and the ways in which music really affects our spirituality. I just, in thinking about this, I know how much music impacts my life and how much I'm just, you know, I'm stimulated, and I'm also really brought into deep touch with the divine from my whenever I'm engaged and whenever I'm really focused in the music, and there's just something really beautiful about it. There's a quote from Aldous Huxley that says, "After silence, that which comes nearest to expressing the inexpressible is music." After silence, that which comes nearest to expressing the inexpressible is music. And I just think that that is an incredible idea that, you know, that which is deepest within us, that which is most divine, that which is most spiritual, are all of the things that connect us both to music and to our spirituality, to our God. And I'm excited for the show tonight. I'm excited to be bringing Rebecca and Brian on the air shortly with me. I just wanted to give you a heads up about some of the programs that are going to be coming up later this week on Blog Talk Radio, the Life Coach Radio Network. Tomorrow we've got a Life Coach Chat, which is focusing on embracing progress over perfection. I know we all need to experience that. And then on the 31st, we've got another Life Coach Chat, which is Living Your Authentic You. If you've never called into a Life Coach Chat or listened in a Life Coach Chat, it's a really wonderful way to experience coaching and to give it a try and to try it on for size and just see how that's going to work for you. And I really encourage you to do that and to give it an opportunity. Then on Thursday, we've got Walk Your Talk with Leanne, and that's going to be focusing on endurance. And the show tomorrow is at 8 p.m., that's Life Coach Chat. Then there's one on Thursday, which is at 12 noon, great thing to do over lunch, Living Your Authentic You. And then Thursday evening at 7 is Walk Your Talk with Leanne, focusing on endurance. So there's all these wonderful episodes coming up on Life Coach Radio Network. I also encourage you to go over to our sister network, the International Life Coach Network, and see what they're up to. Give them a try. I'm really excited about all of the things that are going to be happening soon. So without further ado, let's get into our topic for this evening. I'm bringing on now as we speak Rebecca Stevens-White, who's with us in New York City. Rebecca, are you there?
Hi there. I'm here.
Hey.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited. And I'm excited to be on with Brian, who is one of my favorite musicians and colleagues. So it's a real honor to be on the program. Thank you for including me.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to have both you and Brian on tonight. Brian, are you there as well?
I am.
Hi, Brian.
Excellent.
Hello. I'm honored as well to be here with you, Jen, and you, Rebecca. Thanks for the kind words, and I'm excited about the call tonight.
Amen.
Well, I'm super excited to have you both on. Thank you so much for calling in and being on with us tonight. I want to invite our listeners, anybody who's out there who would like to call in and join in our conversation tonight, at any point you'd like to call in, our guest call-in number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. 1-800-273-9397. And if you call in, make sure that you press the number 1 so that that will put you in our queue, and it will indicate to me that you'd like to join in the conversation. So again, that number is 646-716-9397. So first of all, I guess I'd like to just throw out to you, Rebecca and Brian, to just give me a sense of why or how music is just so deeply personal and deeply spiritual to you.
Who wants to go first, Brian?
Okay. I was looking back through my journals in anticipation of this call, and I found something that I wrote 30 years ago this summer when I was a volunteer in mission in Southeast Alaska. And I was writing a lot and singing a lot there. And what I wrote was something to the effect of, I don't remember hearing my first song. They've always been a part. Music has always just been a part of my experience. And I think it's interesting. I take very seriously the fact that the first human faculty that develops, one of the things that we as humans have been doing the longest is hearing. That is the thing that we've been doing the longest. That's the first sense that develops in the womb. And so hearing our mother's heartbeat, hearing that rhythm, we've been doing all our lives. And and
absolutely,
there's something really deep and, you know, totally across the board spiritual there that's very, very comforting to me. And, you know, I look back through songs that I write and songs that I listen for that other people write that, you know, have to do with that in some way, or music that has to do with that in some way. And across the genres, almost all of them, there is something that I can find of the oral autograph of the divine in music. And it's something that I do, and I know I do without even thinking about it. It's every day. It's hearing the sound of children laughing, or the sound of water flowing if I'm in a natural setting, the sound of bird song, or songs on the radio, or songs through my guitar, other people's instruments. It's just pervasive in my life. And it's not only in mine. I think it's just pervasive in life. That there's music that goes unheard. So it's the first way, the primary way that I experience the omnipresence of God.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Do you have what'd you like to add, Rebecca?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar, and I think musicians have what I love about listening to other musicians is not only they have a great way of expressing music, but they have a great way of expressing why they express music. So that's pretty awesome. And for me, you know, I see God in everything, and music runs parallel to that. So I also see music in everything. Right now, the ice cream truck is outside my window, and I hear the songs it's playing. Just a few minutes ago, my computer made a beep sound to let me know that I had a new message on Facebook. You know, when I called in, the phone rang. And there is, like Brian said, there's a divine autograph on that. And I think that God is finding a way through other things other than, you know, a spoken word. And I also see music in, you know, in a way that not only does it touch everything in our current lives, but music is history, music is tradition, and if we look back thousands and thousands of years, music is just always there, and it just always brings people together. It always makes for peace. So, you know, it's important to appreciate music in that way, even if you don't connect to it as a musician. Everybody.
I think that's an important concept, Rebecca, is that I know that, you know, many of our listeners may not think of themselves as musicians. They may not think of themselves as even necessarily people that maybe even appreciate music a lot. But what I'm hearing from both of you is that, you know, our music really is everywhere. And
Amen.
So it's in the, you know, it's coming from the ice cream truck on the street in the city. It's, you know, and the bird song, which is usually the first thing that I hear now that I'm living in the country, that, you know, I didn't used to get to hear the birds singing first thing in the morning in the city, but I hear that now. And it's a different song than, say, the trash trucks at 3 a.m. when I was living in Manhattan. So, it's, but there is that. There is, you know, there is a rhythm. And I think I really appreciated what you were saying, Brian, about how that's so embedded in who we are. You know, from our very beginning, from our mother's heartbeat that we hear and that we absorb when we're in our mother's womb, that there's just a rhythm to life and to all of life that is inherently musical. And so it's also inherently of God. It's inherently spiritual.
Yep.
Wow, that's really wonderful. I had a... I love this. It's a quote from Charlie Parker that says, "Music is your own experience, your thoughts, your wisdom. If you don't live it, it won't come out of your horn." Yeah, go ahead, Rebecca.
No, I was just going to say on that, you know, music is, I'll often think of, you know, when I play an instrument, that the song or the melody or even the instrument is a beautiful thing because it's not judging me. And especially if I'm just alone in my apartment and playing, you know, my little tunes, my mistakes are not heard. You know, my mistakes are between me and that instrument, which, again, as I said earlier, I see as my own God. And so... you know, that's it also, but at the same time, I do believe that music demands excellence, and just like we go to our God with, you know, an attempt to, or at least an intention to be better people, you know, music parallels that as well. So just another metaphor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for those folks who may have joined us late, this is Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. I'm excited that tonight we're going to be talking about music and spirit and God with two of my favorite people, two of my favorite musicians, Rebecca Stevens-White and Brian McFarland. And if you're interested in joining our conversation, please call in. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. And if you're interested in joining the queue, please push 1 on your keypad so that I know that you are you're wanting to ask a question or join in the conversation. And you're really welcome to join in at any time. Now, Brian, you mentioned that, you know, you have been, obviously, you've been journaling for 30 years and really even reflecting deeply on the way in which music impacts your life and your spirit, your spirituality. How did it all come about for you? How, like, I remember you saying that you couldn't remember your first song, but when did you really start to feel like you, that you, or you realized that you think like a musician?
I guess somewhere around in my teens, when I played guitar out one night at our church youth group, and I heard and I saw people quiet and listen, and you know, it was a real powerful moment when I realized that there was some, you know, even though I was kind of small and geeky and clumsy and awkward and not athletic, here was something that I did and did well. And it was not that it was easy, but it was something that came more naturally to me. And that there was an expressiveness that was not only satisfying for me, but I grew into an understanding that other people identified with it. And when I began to write my own songs and to express, you know, my questions and my faith and really most importantly my doubt, that in the music there was a place where that was okay. And that people identified with that. It kind of reminds me. There's a great answer to in an interview with Peter Rollins, the Scottish theologian. He talks about in our churches sometimes we're so certain that God is there, and he says kind of critically that when we're so certain about where God is, it acts as a security blanket.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, by contrast, he says, and I'll quote, by contrast, if you go and hear a singer-songwriter, and they're singing about suffering and pain, they are kind of crying on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And in listening to the music, you come into contact with your own pain, with your own brokenness.
Yeah,
and you begin to work your way through it. And
yeah.
He said the point is that the church, any faith organization, can be a little bit like a drug binge, he says. We go in and we have a liturgy that helps us forget about our suffering for a few hours, and we feel wonderful and great. But it should be more like the singer-songwriter or the stand-up comedian reflecting our lamentation. And reflecting our brokenness in a way that we can confront them in ourselves,
and therefore
grow from that sting from that was almost robbed from us. So music I found, and I think it's so poetically beautiful that the word music, and we've almost lost of the meaning. It comes from the muse. It comes from that which inspires us, and even the word of it is music. That it's all about being literally being inspirited, inspired.
So there's
a lot to it. There's a quote by Jim Morrison that I love. Who said something to the effect, we hide ourselves in our music to reveal ourselves.
That is beautiful. Mm.
We hide ourselves in our music to reveal ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is just so, I mean, show me someone's playlist, you know, show me any, and I can tell you a little bit about them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, you can say the preset on their car radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep, that's very true. I love that, Brian. That's beautiful. Why am I even on here, Jen? You just talk to Brian for the next.
No, don't go there.
Yeah, don't even start.
I'm on here with two reverends, and I, you know, that is beautiful, Brian. Really, really.
So we're just going to get you to sing, Rebecca, but we don't have to do that right at the moment. But I was just, as you were sharing that quote from Jim Morrison, Brian, I'm looking at this quote from Maya Angelou, who says, "Music was my refuge. I could crawl into the space between the notes and curl back to my loneliness." And I think in a lot of ways, you know, for those of us who just, you know, who need music in their life, who really, you know, feel that absence if we don't have music, that there is that space. I mean, I can tell, you know, I think it's very obvious what someone is going through depending on what music they're listening to. We pull up our playlist to reflect sort of where we are spiritually, where we are emotionally, how we're experiencing life in that moment. We want our music to reflect that, because it helps us to live through that emotion, and sometimes, you know, live through times in our lives that are excruciatingly painful. And, you know, most of us can remember a breakup song or two of times when, you know, we've been jilted, or we've realized that a relationship probably needed to end. And there may have been one song or two songs that just really spoke to us during those times of grief and pain. And we remember those songs. And it's amazing. Isn't it amazing how quickly memories can come back around the song?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm hearing as you're saying that. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm hearing that Elton John, they reach into your room just to feel their gentle touch when all hope is gone. Sad songs say so much. And not that we only get the spiritual out of sad and broken stuff, but a lot of times the energy level of the music is not the same as the energy level of the lyrics.
Yeah.
And there's this lift that happens in the music that pulls us up, even though we're expressing those things that are maybe even depression or conflict or sadness, the music tends to be up above that, and it pulls us up out of it.
There's a reason why we teach children uplifting songs, because it's part of teaching them how to deal with their problems.
Yeah.
And you know, we teach children to sing, you know, "This Little Light of Mine" and "You Are My Sunshine." You know, those are songs and themes that we're teaching children to use as tools, as real tools in their real lives, to remember that they're okay. You know, I was just Skyping with my nephew, and he's all of 2 years old, and you know, when we Skype, it's just me and Oscar, and we usually end up singing together, and it's like the joy of my day. I could not do anything but do that all day long. But he everything is about being uplifted and being excited and happy and feeling good about yourself and feeling good about each other and loving everyone. And, you know, why, you know, unfortunately, you know, a lot of times those sentiments get lost as we get older, but I love to revert back to the children and mm-hmm. their spirit in song and what they can really teach us about what songs can do for us, the simplicity of a lyric like You Are My Sunshine.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's so wonderful. I mean, it's just a great, I just have this great image of you and Oscar Skyping and singing together. And, you know, it's really what Brian was talking about when he was saying that, you know, he can't remember it when he heard his first song. And Oscar's not going to be able to remember when he heard
that's
his first song or the first time that he sang, because it's, you know, we don't take this for granted. For those of you who may have joined us late, this is Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. I'm on the air with Rebecca Stevens-White and Brian McFarland, and I'm really excited. Rebecca is talking about children and music, and she knows about these things. She is going to be starting a new job as the children's music director at First Presbyterian Church in Manhattan, and we are really excited about that. And the children at First Pres are going to be blessed by Rebecca's presence and just the way that she thinks about God and she thinks about music and the love that she has for children. And I'm really excited, Rebecca, for this new chapter in your life.
Thank you. We're all going to learn a lot. I'll say that.
Yeah,
I'm going to learn a lot. Go ahead, Rebecca. I was just going to say, I feel fortunate, and, you know, anytime anyone, and Brian, I know you can speak to this, but anytime a musician gets the opportunity to spend their days doing what they do and being able to, you know, afford to do that and physically live on a musician's work is truly, truly a blessing. So I am blessed for sure.
Well, that's great. I just want to invite folks that if they want to join in the conversation, if they have thoughts about music and the way that music has touched their lives, anything that has jumped out at them this evening that they'd like to comment on, please give us a call. The number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And please remember to push 1 so that I know that you're interested in joining the conversation. Now, Brian, I was just going to ask you about, you know, being a parent. And your little girl isn't so little anymore. But how is that? No, how was that for you as Megan was growing up?
I wanted, and I made sure that music has always been a part of her life from the very beginning. I remember singing to her when she was still in utero, and I'll never forget. Hours after, oh gosh, minutes after she was born, and she was squalling, and I got down right beside the crib there in the ICU where she was for about an hour after she was born, and I said, Megan, this is your father, and you need to be quiet. And she quit her squalling, and she turned and looked at me. And other people had been speaking to her, but she knew the sound of my voice.
Mm.
She knew that music, and which underscores to me that faculty, that sense of hearing, is just so important. You know, on up to today, she's beginning her senior year in high school. And
that's unbelievable.
Rebecca, yeah, it is unbelievable. Rebecca gave her some fiddle lessons years ago, and and she has continued with that, and
that's great.
She is she's in her senior year at a performing arts school in violin, and and every year she and I make a musical trek and go to Merlefest together, and are there all 4 days, and it is in many ways that's kind of the beginning of the new year for she and I. And that that musical bond is just so rich and real, and you know, I treasure that with her. It's just something that is beyond there. I cannot put any price on it. It's just beyond, I can't even begin to put a price on that. It's just so valuable to me. Something that was said a while ago made me think of another, quote that I wanted to throw out there, because I had two or three that I listed. Joan Osborne, who What If God Was One of Us? She has a number of quotes that are really good, and she has this, she said there's this great line in a Chrissy Hynde song. Chrissy Hynde is the lead singer for the Pretenders.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she said there's this great line in the Chrissy Hynde song where she says, quote, "When I first heard a song flying to the sun, I wanted to be one."
Mm-hmm.
And then Joan says, "You know, it's not that you want to sing the song. It's that you want to be the song."
Yep. Mm.
And I love that image of one singer-songwriter talking about another, and that love that singer-songwriters have for each other, that it's so tangible, that when you hear that song that flies you to the sun, you want to be that song. You know, I can remember hearing John Prine sing "Angel from Montgomery" the first time I ever heard him sing that live, and I was like, How do you write something like that? And B, I got away from that thought, and I just inhabited that song, and I wanted to some extent be that song. I just think that's a lovely idea.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Rebecca, have you had that experience?
Yeah, and I think. Well, first of all, I want to say that I can, from the daughter's perspective, give Brian hopefully some, you know, if Megan's not giving this kind of feedback, you know, having a relationship with your dad through music is one of the greatest gifts that the universe can provide. My dad taught me my first fiddle tunes, but he also took me to my Suzuki violin lessons every week, starting from the age when I was 3 years old, and not only sat through all my lessons, but every day sat with me and practiced my violin. And, the gift of music from parents is really, really powerful, and then to have a special connection with a parent through music is just something you cannot take away. And to this day, if I go home, Dad and I will sit at the piano and sing hymns, or at Christmas time we'll sing Christmas carols. Dad will get out his concertina and play, and it is just a beautiful thing. My sister and my mother would join in, my brother, and we were really it makes for a really, really strong family unit. So I just wanted to give that feedback from the daughter perspective. And as far as writing songs is concerned, I so relate to songwriters because I find songwriting to be torturous because you have to be so, so wide open. And you have to put so much of your fears and concerns and so much just of yourself on paper, and then you have to make it sound good. And that to me is a very grueling and fearsome process. And so my songwriting, I go in peaks and valleys with songwriting because it is just so hard for me to get into that space. And I love that Brian mentioned Angel from Montgomery because, I mean, my goodness, where was he in his head when those words were put to those notes? And
for real. Yeah.
I mean, it just, I cannot imagine where that, you know, at what deep place in his soul that came from and what he had to do to draw this thing up. That is something that I constantly have to train myself to learn that it's okay to bring my baggage, if you will, but it's also there's also a training process in making your baggage sound appealing and be connecting to other people and something that other people can relate to.
Yeah, it's a great quote that I'm looking at from Gustav Mahler that says, if a composer could say what he had to say in words, he would not bother trying to say it in music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that so reflects what you were saying, Rebecca, about the challenge of writing music, of composing, of making both, saying what it is that you want to say with your heart, but saying it in a way, putting it together musically so that it connects with what's deepest in other people. And it's really, that's where I see that the deep spirituality of music is when your music connects deeply to something that's within me. And it's that sort of deep connection, deep relating to deep, that I think is, at least for me, is a big part of why music is such a part of my spirituality, my spiritual practice, the way that I understand and relate to God. It's just through that deep, deep connection. Just so that if folks have joined us late, this is Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. I'm on the air with Brian McFarland in Greensboro, North Carolina, and Rebecca Stevens-White in New York City. And if you'd like to join our conversation, if anything has sparked something for you that you would like to share, a story, please give us a call. That number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397, and make sure that you press the one button so that we know that you want to join the queue. So, Rebecca,
yes,
do you have a song that you'd like to share with us tonight?
Well, shoot, since we've been talking about Angel from Montgomery, I might play a little bit of that.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Love to hear that.
Let me check the sound. I don't know what it's going to sound like. But this song, I learned this song when I was sort of in my adolescence. So, you know, I was being very dramatic. And this is a very dramatic song, so I immediately stuck with it. And what I love about it, and the reason why I always connected with it, is because the first line of the song says, "I am an old woman named after my mother." And I am, in fact, named after my mother. So that was something that John Prine got me real quick on this one. So. I know there are musicians listening in, and I don't want to get bad feedback about it. It's probably not a tune. All right. I am an old woman named after my mother. My old man is another child that's grown old. Dreams were lightning and thunder were desire. This old house would have burned down a long time ago. Make me an angel that flies from the gallery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go. When I was younger, had me a cowboy. He was much to look at, the preliminary. But that was no matter how I try, the years just flow by like a broken down day. Make me an angel that flies from the gallery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing alone that I can hold on. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go. Flies in the kitchen, I can hear them buzzing. And I ain't done nothing since I woke up today. How the hell can a person go to work in the morning and come home in the evening and have the same mistake? Baby, an angel rise from the summary. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go.
Thanks, Rebecca.
You're
that
welcome.
Was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's
good.
Go ahead, Brian.
Songwriters sometimes talk about their songs as if they're their children.
Yes.
And I really don't subscribe to that.
Good, Brian.
I think I rather think that that just happened to be a fish that John Prine caught.
I love that.
You could have caught that fish, Rebecca. Any songwriter could have. But I really think that we're all fishing from the same stream.
We
some of us know the better places to fish, and some of us have better bait and better technique, and we can flip the fly just to the right spot. And sometimes we'll catch a song and we'll put it back and let it grow a little bit. But I was just thinking as you were singing that everybody has their own version of a cover of different songs. It's always good to hear that song actually sung by a woman.
Thank you.
And even though it was over the phone and it's not good audio quality, the quality of the lyric and the music still came through. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. It was really well done.
Well, thank you, and thank you, John Prine. I mean, thank you
for
catching
for real.
That fish.
Yeah.
And I find I'm one of those people that, if I get a song stuck in my head, it is just there. Mm-hmm. It is really there. And at times I realize that maybe there's a reason why this particular song is there. Mm-hmm. And maybe I need to pay attention to that. I was talking last night with some folks and with my husband about theology and God and how God intervenes or doesn't intervene in the world and our thoughts about that. And one of the things that my husband Gavin and I both agree on is that we don't picture God as sort of this, heavenly puppeteer, but I've been around long enough to get a holy nudge here or there. So, maybe God is the divine nudger that, nudges us in one direction or another, or at times if there's something that we need to pay attention to, if there's a message, if there's a listening in there for us from God, I've often found that that will come through music, and it will come through music that gets stuck in my head and I just can't shake it. Rebecca, the song about I have had in my head for the last 36 hours, The Great Storm Is Over.
Oh, man.
And
right?
It has just been rattling around in my head, and I just can't get it out. And it's just one of those things. And maybe there is a message in there for me. There's a message there. That I just need to hear, that I needed to dwell on for more than a minute.
I'm going to do a plug for you right now because, you and I are going to be at the Wild Goose Festival here in a couple weeks, and that song in particular is going to be a part of our program. And I think if you think about just that one line, "The Great Storm Is Over," I mean, just think about a storm, that you've been through recently, whether it was, something really big or just a traffic jam or something. I think we can all look back at something recent and say, man, I made it through that, and when you and I are at Wild Goose, and of course, Brian, you'll be there too, and, I, I I hope that, you know, people will be able to, you know, connect to that part of that, that the great storm, you know, comes to an end. And, you know, we are moved through great challenges in life, or nudged through, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we all, whatever those challenges are, whatever our storm is, we're always, you know, working through it. And
yes.
we've got about 10 minutes left, so I want to invite folks, if you want to join our conversation, go ahead and call in. We've only got 10 minutes left. The number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And push the number 1 and let me know that you are interested in joining the call. And we do have a caller. I'm going to try and bring you on now. Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Well, hello. This is Sam. I'm calling from North Carolina in Silva, actually. And I think it's interesting, this topic that you guys are talking about tonight, because I myself have an interesting place with music, is that I lead worship on Sundays, and then on the other days of the week or other days of the weekend, I'm playing with another band at bars or at festivals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I found is, especially with leading worship, is how, and I want to know if Brian or Rebecca can relate to this, is this kind of musical and spiritual burnout that you can get that comes with people in the congregation or in the group or whatever that have certain complaints about the way that you are doing a song, as far as they'll focus more on the way that you might be playing a song or maybe doing a song more than the song itself. And then you get their complaints about it, and you're like, well, come on. I mean, like, the point of this was not for you to hear me play. The point of this was for you to get something out of this song. And that really always brings me down, both musically and spiritually, because I'm like, well, why are you even here if you're not here to get something out of this? And then I find myself ironically built back up when I'm playing at a bar or playing at a festival, and, you know, whether these people are enjoying the music or maybe they've had a little bit too much to drink or something like that, either way, they're really enjoying themselves to the point where maybe it's almost like they're having this kind of spiritual experience that I wish I could see happening at a church service.
Mm.
Church is everywhere, isn't it?
And so I just kind of want to know, like, how you guys deal with that, if you've ever dealt with that.
Mm.
Yeah,
right,
I've definitely dealt with that. It made me think of a number of passages in a book by Don Selyers and Emily Selyers. Emily is part of the Indigo Girls, and her father Don was faculty at Candler School of Theology in Decatur, Georgia. And they wrote this book, and I think Emily's the one that came up with it. They talk about songs in two categories: songs of Saturday night and Sunday morning, and that a lot of times the songs of Saturday night, some of them can also be some of them can be brought into Sunday morning, but some of them stay on Saturday night, and vice versa. Some of the songs from Sunday morning can be a Saturday night song, but some just need to be Sunday morning. And I like that kind of breakdown. Of course, it's a lot more nuanced and complex than that. But that was the first thing that came to my mind in what you said. And the other, you know, about the energy not coming through the cover that you're doing of a song, you know, that sounds more like that person's baggage than anything that you really need to
Amen.
Right, yeah.
That has more to do with them than you.
Yeah. Sam, thanks for your call. That was great and a great question. I mean, I know that my husband and I are both pastors, and we have often felt that sometimes to do some really good ministry in those Saturday night places, you wonder if you do quite as good a ministry on Sunday morning. You pray you do, but you also realize you reach a different crowd on Saturday night than you do on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Hey, Jen, am I on? Can you hear me?
You are.
Okay, I got cut off for a second, so I had to call back in. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say, too, about that, you know, I think part of the job as a song leader in worship is to challenge people. And as Gavin says, you know, we come to church to be comforted because of the challenges of our lives, or to be challenged because of the comforts of our lives. And I believe that we go around with a very perfect musical expectation. It comes out of our radio, it comes out of our MP3 players, and we expect something on Sunday morning to be just done for us. Our job as song leaders is, you know, if that person is dealing with baggage, is having a challenge with the music because of some place that they're coming from, it's our job in our ministry to hold the, I don't want to say hold the mirror up, but to push that person to see what it is they're not getting, what it is in their life is they're not receiving, to where they can't succumb to the music and let the music be what it is, and just to glorify in that moment. You know, I often think, when you're in the bar setting or in the after hours setting, you know, there are other, if you will, lubricants to getting people to let go. To getting people to let go of themselves and to let go of their baggage. Sometimes it's just the idea that you're out and maybe you have a babysitter at home and you can cut loose. Sometimes it's that you chased a shot of whiskey with a stout beer. Sometimes it's something like that can give a person that freedom to, and our challenge on Sunday morning when we're all recovering from the shots the night before is to make people connect, help people connect without those external lubricants.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Rebecca. And thank you for your call, Sam. That was a great question. And thank you both for your replies. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. This hour has just flown by. And I just want to thank Rebecca Stevens-White and Brian McFarland. I want folks to know that if you're interested in following up on this conversation, you want to know more about the work that I do with spiritual engagement, energy and direction, seed spiritual coaching, you can find me at www.seedspiritualcoaching.com, and you can reach me at jennifer@seedspiritualcoaching.com. And I know that you're also welcome to follow up with Brian and Rebecca. You can follow me on Twitter at @CoachRevJen. And I'm going to be back in 2 weeks on Monday, August 12th. Same time, 8 p.m. And on Monday, I'm going to have a special guest, Reverend Ramal Toon, who's going to be talking about his new book called God's Graffiti. And it's a fascinating new book. It's really focused at teenagers, urban youth, folks who have experienced gang culture and are really searching for what's real and what's deep and what's next for them in life. And Ramal has just, he has hit right where these folks live. And I really encourage you to join me 2 weeks from tonight, August 12th at 8 p.m. for Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. And we're going to be focusing on the issue of urban youth and the ways in which we can reach, all of us can reach out to folks who are most in need and to learn from them and how we can learn from them in ways that we may not expect. So I want to thank everyone for listening tonight or for listening in our archive broadcast. I'm really excited about the shows that are coming up this week. They've got two Life Coach chats, one tomorrow, one on Thursday at noon, and then another show on Friday evening. Actually, on Thursday evening, Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And we're really excited about the schedule that's coming up on blog, the Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm hopeful that I will be talking to many of you in our next episode. So thank you again for joining us, and have a great and blessed night. Thank you again, Rebecca and Brian.
Thank you, Jen.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, too, Jen. Thank you, too, Rebecca. Good night.
Good night.